May 31, 2020. Wellsville Full Gospel. Interim Pastor, Tom Brazell. Sermon title, The Holy Spirit, Who, What, Where, When and Why.
You know, today is Pentecost Sunday. And it's a great day to begin to reflect upon the Holy Spirit, who He is, and so on. But Pentecost originally is a Jewish holiday. In fact, it's one of the three big ones, and it was really to thank God for the harvested crops. That's what Pentecost was. It's 50 days after Passover, and so 50 days after the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit came, and the harvest began. And so there's a fulfillment. I don't want to get into all the symbolism of the Jewish holiday. I just wanted to let you know that Pentecost originally was a Jewish holiday, still is to this day, but it's also very important for Christians because it's the day we remember that the Holy Spirit was poured out upon that 120 that were in that upper room. They had been waiting on God and they had been praying, and then there came the sound of a rushing mighty wind came and so on, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. They began to speak in tongues. The tongues of fire were over them. And Peter, you know, the wimpy Peter, the guy who denied Jesus three times, he stood up and he began to preach with a new boldness that he didn't have before, because now he was under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. 3,000 people got saved that day. And that was only the beginning, because the church from that point began to, they was added to the church daily, those who were being saved. Then the church was multiplied, and then the church was scattered, and it began to go out to all the different parts of Asia. And so Pentecost is a great day for us. And I would like to, today what I'd like to do is it's kind of a foundational day. I don't know where everybody is at with the Holy Spirit, how you feel about the Holy Spirit, what you understand about the Holy Spirit. So I thought it'd be really good for us to get on the same page for some things that we're going to talk about in the weeks to come. And so we want to know, what can we know about the Holy Spirit? Now you have in your hands, you should have the scriptures for this morning, and there as you can see, there are many, 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 many scriptures. I'm not going to try to reference them all, but I wanted you to have them so you can look at them at your own whenever you want to do that, and you can you don't have to try to keep up with the ones that I do reference. They are all written right there. So I want to talk about who the Holy Spirit is and what's the significance of His coming. Why is this important to us? And so I guess you could say this is a who, what, where, when, and why kind of message. Okay, we're talking about the Holy Spirit. Who is He? What is He? Where is He? Why is He? And who, what, where, when, why? What are you? The five W's. I lost track of in mid sentence. I've lost my train of thought. So, but the first thing I want to do, who is the Holy Spirit? Well, the most simple thing we could say about the Holy Spirit is He is God. It is in Acts chapter 5, verse 3 and 4. You remember the story about Ananias and Sapphira and how they actually tried to pull one over on the early church and misrepresented how much money they were given. You read the story yourself, but basically they were just trying to look better than they were, trying to put on the airs in the church. And Peter said to Ananias, "Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and kept back part of the price of the land for yourself? While it remained, was it not your own? And after it was sold, was it not in your own control? Why have you conceived this thing in your heart? Listen, you have not lied to men, but to God." And so Peter recognized that when you lie to the Holy Spirit, you're lying to God. So who is the Holy Spirit? Well, first of all, He is God. And there are divine attributes that are only given to God that are ascribed to the Holy Spirit. For example, He's omnipotent. That means He's all-powerful. Luke 1:35, the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the highest will overshadow you. And you therefore also, that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God," speaking to Mary and how the Holy Spirit came upon her. And He knows all things. John 14:26, it says, "The Holy Spirit whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things. The Holy Spirit is a teacher, but he's not a teacher limited to human understanding or even extra human understanding. He has all understanding. He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. And so the Holy Spirit is attributed to being omniscient. He's also everywhere, omnipresent. In Psalm 139, 7 and 10, it begins by saying, "Where can I go from your Spirit, and where can I flee from your presence?" And it goes on to basically say, nowhere. If I go here, you are there, no matter where you are. And this is true physically, it's true spiritually, it's true emotionally. Wherever you are, He is there. If He is there with you. He is eternal. The Holy Spirit is everlasting. Hebrews 9:14 names Him as the eternal Spirit who Jesus offered Himself through. There are divine works. He is God, and that's what we're looking at. There are works that only God can ascribe to. He was the divine work of creation. We see in Genesis 1:2 that the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the water. The Holy Spirit was there. In Job 33:4, we see that Job says, "The Spirit of God has made me." The Holy Spirit is a creative spirit. Only God can do that. Psalm 104:30 says, "You send forth your Spirit, and they are created." Sorry about that boom there as I move closer to the microphone. Fighting the wind up here is just another little thing to keep me busy, keep me occupied. Okay, regeneration. It says, is this a little hot? Are we doing okay? Is it hot? Too hot? Okay. All right, I'll keep my nose out of it and let the sound guy do what he does, and I'll just do what I do. Sorry, Devin. Okay. He is attributed with regeneration. In John 3:5, Jesus is speaking to Nicodemus, and he says, "Unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot see the kingdom of God." The Holy Spirit is so active. In fact, without the Holy Spirit, there is no regeneration. It isn't there. And so he's the one. You know what it is? It's this one back here. Can you kill that one? I don't mean literally. Okay. Now that's better. I think it's better. Okay. All right. And he's also gives the impartation. Now that is much better. Thank you. The impartation of life. Romans 8:11 says this. I love this verse. "But if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you." So He's an impart. He gives life to us. Now, I'm looking around. I'm thinking just about everybody here, probably everybody here, has had this experience where God has put life into us. And sometimes we get so far from that experience, we can forget what a mess we were, how lost we were, how separate from God we were. But there came a point in time when He came into us and He imparted life to us. Thank you, Lord, for that. And He is also given the divine authorship of prophecy. 2 Peter 1:21 says, "For prophecy never came by the will of men, but by holy men of God. But holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit." And so the Holy Spirit is the one who is, if it's a true prophecy, it's coming from the Holy Spirit. 2 Samuel 23:2, Samuel says, "The Spirit of the Lord spoke by me." You know? And we're going to get to a place, and it's not too far down the road. We want, with everything we talked about this morning, about the new day that we're coming into, we need to be prepared for the new day. What does that mean? It doesn't mean changing programs. It doesn't mean anything like that. What it means is that we are believers who are filled with the Holy Spirit, who are in a place where we understand how to move in the gifts of the Spirit, how to understand how to lay hold of God and bring that not only to the body but to the area that we live in. So that is where we are going, but we need to realize that He is God. So the first question is, who's the Holy Spirit? Well, he's God. He's the third person of the Trinity. Please don't ask me to explain the Trinity, because I can't explain it. I believe it. It's in the Word. It's a little beyond my understanding, but I know when I get to heaven, it'll all be clear. Right now, I just take that in faith. Father, Son, Holy Ghost, the triune God. He is God. And the second is almost like the first, a very close. I almost grouped them together because we talked about who is the Holy Spirit. He is God. What is the Holy Spirit? Now, some feel like the Holy Spirit is a force. And there are some places in the Scripture where he is kind of described that way. Jesus actually said to Nicodemus, he said, the wind comes. You know, you don't know where it's coming from, where it's going to, and that's the way it is with the Spirit. We kind of can identify with that illustration today. But the wind is inanimate. The wind does not have attributes of intelligence or sentience at all, and so he's more than that. He's not an it. He has a personality, he has intelligence, he has will, and there are distinctive characteristics in the Bible about this, and these are important because as we go through, I think you'll see why they're important. One of the things that the Holy Spirit has that shows that he is he's not just a force, is that he has knowledge. In 1 Corinthians 2:11, it says, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. An inanimate object, a force, does not know anything. It just does what it does. But the Holy Spirit has knowledge. The Holy Spirit has a will. In 1 Corinthians 12:11, it says that he's giving to the church gifts as he wills. And this is important for us to know, that when the Holy Spirit puts upon us a call or a gifting or something like that, sometimes we would like to trade it in for somebody else's. You know, I told you before, one of the things I would love to have been and really wanted to be, and that was to be a singer. I wanted to be a singer. I would have loved to be up here with the worship team singing. But that actually, for you, that would be more of a distraction than it would be a blessing. So I had to, somewhere along the way, submit myself to the will of God and say, I would love to do that, but that's not what I'm called to do. So he places us where he wants us to be, and those are different places. And you say, well, why did you do this? And he sometimes answers, and sometimes he doesn't. I really can't expect him to answer all of our questions, but we just have to submit to it. So he has a will. And I think we're going to talk a lot about that in the days to come. He has a mind. Okay, in Romans 8:27 it says, now he who searches the heart knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. The Holy Spirit is more than a force. There's a mind. There's love. In Romans 15:30 it talks about that through the love of God you strive together with me in prayers. And in Romans 5:5 it says the love of God has been poured out Let me read it right. Now hope does not disappoint, but the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who is given to us. A force does not love. And the Holy Spirit, the reason I'm going through this is so that we can either, but maybe it's just revisiting these truths, that we realize that as the Holy Spirit is here. I just want to let you know right now, the Holy Spirit is here right now. He's not just the wind blowing, but he has a will. He has purpose. He is here. And if he is here, and if we can open our hearts to that, then who knows? Anything he says he wants to do is possible. All things are possible with God. But if we don't recognize, if our coming to church is little more than a group of people who like each other at least most of the time, they come together, sing some songs, those are good things. But if we don't see the reality of the Spirit of God among us, then we're going to miss. We're going to miss what it is he wants to do with us. I don't know if I'm expressing this the way I want to, but I want you to realize that he is alive. He has a will. He has a purpose. He is not idle, and that he is here among us. and he has things he wants to do. He has intelligence. The Holy Spirit's smart, and he's good. It says in Nehemiah 9:20, you also gave your good spirit to instruct them. He is intelligent, and he is good. But he can also be grieved. And this is something we need to be aware of, that that there are things that happen that grieve the Holy Spirit. For Ephesians 4:30 tells us, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. I don't want to get through all the ways we can grieve him, because I might miss yours. And you think, I guess I'm off the hook. No, we know that there are things that we can do. You know, as parents or grandparents or people who have families and so on, you know how it is when you see people among you who can't get along, and it's a grief, or people in family or close friends who turn their back on you for whatever reason, and it's a grief. And the Holy Spirit can be grieved. And I will say, one of the things that I believe grieves the Holy Spirit more than anything else is disunity. And we talked about that before Corona started. I did two out of a three-part message. Got that third message just waiting for the right day. But we talked about the importance of unity and how to deal with offenses. Important things for us to understand, not because I preached it, not because it was my opinion, but because I went right to the Word of God, and I showed from the Word of God how important unity is among believers, and how important it is for us to deal with offenses in the proper way so that we can put them behind us and we can maintain that unity. And if we don't do that, the Holy Spirit gets grieved. And if the Holy Spirit gets grieved, he can... Got to be careful how I say this, because I already said the Holy Spirit is everywhere, but in a sense can withdraw from us. We can derail what he wants to do for us if we are grieving him. And so I'm sure we're going to talk more about that, but we're told, don't grieve the Holy Spirit. So before you do anything that affects other people in the church or the church, you need to say, is this going to grieve the Holy Spirit? And if it is, don't do it. Whatever you need to do, there's a biblical way to do it, but if you're doing it wrong and you're grieving the Holy Spirit, it's going to hurt not only you, it's going to hurt us all. Okay, and there are actions that are ascribed to the Holy Spirit that only a person can perform. Again, we're talking about he's not just a force, he's real. He searches. It says in 1 Corinthians 2:10 that the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. The Holy Spirit is in there. He prays. In Romans 8:26, it says, the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Aren't you glad that the Holy Spirit can take us in prayer to some place we can't go by ourselves? Groanings which cannot be uttered. Some people have called the groanings tongues. And I don't think that it excludes tongues. But there are times, and maybe you have been there, when you are just overwhelmed, and all you can do is groan. Oh God, oh God. And somehow the Holy Spirit is taking that and interceding on our behalf. This is not something a force does. An intelligent, willful God who is among us. Okay, he teaches us. In John 14:26-27, it talks about the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you. And sometimes before we latch on to something, we need to ask the teacher. You know, teacher. You know, one of the things the Reagans, and they gave us this movie to watch when we were all locked down and in our house, and it's called The Chosen. If you haven't seen it yet, you need to see it. You need to get it. I really think you need to buy it, because by buying it, you're helping to finance the next season, and it's only, I think, $20. But anyhow, I digress. Okay, so they sent it to us, and I got to remember why it was that. Oh, yes, in that thing, it was really interesting how, I guess I knew this, but I saw it more clearly. And that's when Nicodemus, of course, was a great Pharisee, and he had students, he had those that he taught, and they would pose a question, and he would answer their question with a question. And Jesus did the same thing. They would ask him something, and he would throw the question back to them. And then as I read the Bible after that, and I've actually read the New Testament through, since, or not completely through, but the Gospels, since I watched that, and I was watching for this technique of asking questions. You know, and so when you ask God a question, he might throw one back to you. You might say, well, what should I do this? And he might say, well, what does the Scripture say? You know, and now what you need to do is you need to say, okay, I don't know what the Scripture says. And so you go back to it. Anyhow, he's a teacher, and he uses techniques to teach us, and we need to ask him. But don't be surprised if when you ask him a question, he doesn't give you a question that you're to answer. And in answering that question, you will find out the truth that you were looking for. I think one of the problems with Christians, we don't ask enough questions. But that's... He speaks. 1 Timothy 4:1, the Spirit expressly says. Do you know the Spirit of God speaks? He speaks. We heard sometimes... I found out that the Holy Spirit often has my wife's voice. It's amazing. You know, God, you sound just like Judy. You know, and the truth of the matter is we do hear from God, from one another. It's not that everything everybody says, we say that's God, but when, I don't know where you were today, but as I'm listening to some of what was shared today, I'm thinking, this is true. This rings true. This sounds just like God. And so even it might have been the voice of Denise or whoever, really, what I'm trying to hear is what is the Spirit of God saying through that person. And so we need to be open to one another. Because the Holy Spirit in you might be the Holy Spirit that wants to speak to me. And if I'm, you know, some people are just like, well, I'll do something when God tells me. But we don't recognize he's been telling you. He's just been telling you through other people. But you want this divine visitation. I want that too. But sometimes it doesn't come like that. In fact, I have never heard the voice of God audibly. I know people have said they have, and I want to. But I haven't. I wish I did. Maybe today I will. But I haven't. But I've heard from God through other people often and again. So he speaks. And so he is here again as he's among us. What does he want to say to us? What's the message of the day? What's the message for your hour that you're in, or your difficulty, or your victory, or wherever you're at? He speaks. He testifies. In John 15:26, we see that the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. I'm just trying to lay out for you a biblical understanding of who the Holy Spirit is. It's going to be important for us to understand who he is because he's. I believe he wants to be a very active member of our church. I don't think he really wants to be off to the side. I think he wants to be a major participant in where we are going and what we are doing. And I say yes. And that brings us to the next one. He guides. In John 16:13, it says that he will guide us into all truth. Now, I want to tell you something. If you feel or somebody comes to you and has a word for you and the word does not line up with the truth of his word, then I can guarantee to you the Holy Spirit didn't say it. The Holy Spirit will not give a word that is contrary to the written word. Ever, 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 ever. I've had people say some of the craziest things. You know, God told me to do this. And God, well, what do you mean God told you to do? Can you show me that in the Bible, please? Anything like that. I'd like to hear that. What he says will always line up with the word. That might be more specific, but it's not going to contradict a principle of his word. And so, believer, saint, brother, sister, read your Bible. Know your Bible. It's the only thing that really keeps you safe in all of this. So he says he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak of his own authority, but whoever he hears, he will speak. And he will tell you things to come. Hallelujah. He knows what's coming. We don't know what's coming. I mean, in some ways we do, but I mean, in specifics, we don't know what's coming. He knows what's coming. And if you need to know, he's going to tell you what's coming. That's an awesome thing. So we know that who he is, what he is, where is he? Where is the Spirit of God? Where is he? Well, in one sense, he's everywhere. We already said that. He's omnipresent. He's everywhere. Where can I go from your Spirit? He's in Psalm 139. There's no place I can go where you're not. But in a more specific way, a more personal way, he's within us. Now, he says in 1 Corinthians 16:19, do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? We could spend a lot of time on that, because he doesn't want us desecrating our bodies. Okay, I don't have time to get into all of that, but if you think of all the ramifications of we have the Holy Spirit dwelling within us, what are we doing with these bodies? What are they being used for? What are they participating in? We need to understand that Jesus, at one point, when he was here on earth, he saw what was going on in the temple, and it wasn't good, and he got mad. It was a righteous anger. He didn't sin. He went in, but he tipped over tables, and he said, what are you doing in my Father's house? Well, we are. The temple is not in Jerusalem. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And so that's where he is right now. Now we're going to need to grapple with this. We're not going to do it today, but we will be talking about the difference between the indwelling of the Holy Spirit of the believer and the baptism of the Holy Spirit. There is a difference, and we'll talk about that. But suffice it for today to say that all true believers are temples of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit dwells within them. Does that mean they're filled with the Holy Spirit? Not to my understanding of Scripture, we'll talk about that. But I do know this. I do know that if you're a believer, the Holy Spirit dwells within you. So that is the where he is, the when. When is the time of the Holy Spirit? Well, in the Old Testament, it says, you see the phrase in different ways, but over and over again, the Spirit of God came upon him. Like Samson, okay? The Spirit of God came upon him and he tore the lion apart, or whatever. The Spirit came on him so they could do a specific thing, and then it was, that anointing was no longer there. But in the New Testament, the Spirit comes to dwell with us. He doesn't come and go. He comes to stay. And once he's still there. He didn't leave you. The day of Pentecost was the day when the Holy Spirit was poured out upon the church. Now, Jesus said, we're going to see it in a little while, we're going to see that he said that you're to tarry in Jerusalem until you be endued with power. And so that's what they did. They tarried, and then they were endued with power. Now, I could be stepping on some Pentecostal toes here, but that's okay. I don't believe we have to tarry anymore. The tarrying was done. They waited. The Holy Spirit came. He is now freely given to all people, and all we really need to do is receive. And you know, the thing I've noticed about people is that people, they need their receivers healed. They don't know how to receive. They don't know how to relax and just receive what God has for them. We're going to talk a lot about this when we start talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit and receiving. I think they're all wound up and they're working real hard. Like if they work real hard, somehow the Holy Spirit's going to... No, it's just, here I am. You promised. I want it. And you step into it. And he feels. So we're going to have to talk about that. But suffice it for this morning to say, the Holy Spirit has been given. We don't have to tarry. We don't have to wait. The time of the Holy Spirit is today. He is with us. He wants to fill us. He wants to anoint us. He wants to empower us. He wants to use us. And there's nothing more that the devil would like to do than to put you in a place where you feel like, well, you know, if I really can't ask the Holy Spirit to come until I get a little better. Well, that's crazy. Because if you had to be better to get anything from God, you would never get anything from God. He already knows all of our quirks and limitations and all that sort of thing. What he wants, and again, more to come, can't do it all in one morning, but he wants to give the Holy Spirit to you. If you're a believer, and looking around, I think you all are, you have the Holy Spirit within us, within you. I believe that. Not saying for a minute that's not true. But there is this thing, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the coming of the Spirit of God to overflowing. And in that, God wants to release the signs, wonders, miracles, the gifts of the Spirit, and so on. Okay, we don't have to tarry. I got hung up on that point just for a minute, but it's a good point to get hung up on. In John 7, in 37 through 39, Jesus said this, "On the last day of the great feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, 'If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water.' But this he said, spoke concerning the Spirit." Listen to this now. "This he said, this out of your innermost being is going to flow rivers of living water." That's the promise. You come to Jesus. Okay. "This he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive," future tense, "for the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified." So there is a difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament. There's an indwelling of the Holy Spirit, which is common to all believers, and then there is the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which we are going to talk about both of those things in the days to come. So that was the when, now the why. Who, what, where, when, why. And this will be where we're going to end up today. In Luke 4:29, Jesus said, "Behold, I send you the promise of the Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high." The Holy Spirit was given to empower you. For a Christian to say, "I can't," somehow, there are things we can't do. I understand that. But if God says you can do something, you can do it. That's just the bottom line. You can just do it. Why? Because he said you can do it. Because you're empowered to do it. He said, "Wait until you are endued with power." Now, I'm not going to ask for hands, but I would guess that there's a number of us here who would say, "I don't feel very powerful." And I got to tell you something. You kind of have to get rid of that idea. You really kind of have to get rid of that mindset that you really can't and you really aren't that powerful. You are. If the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwell in you, he will quicken your mortal bodies. You can do whatever he says you can do. Now, I love the feedback. I'm not going to preach for 15 more minutes. No, Mike, you got me all wound up. No, I'm not. I'm just kidding. Listen, I'm telling you something. If God wants to use our church, we got to change. Not our theology, but we need to change our response to that theology. That it's real. The Holy Spirit is God. He is not a force. He's a person. He is here in our hearts. He is here today. And he is here to empower us. Now, if we are a Spirit-empowered church, look out, Allegheny County. Look out, devil. We are on the move. Well, I'm not young like some, so I... No, it doesn't matter. It's the power that comes from God through the Holy Spirit. And if he's in you, you can do anything he says you can do. Acts 1:8, "You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit shall come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and all Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." Again, on the day of Pentecost, Peter, who really wimped out, I don't want to be too hard on him because I might have done the same thing, but he really did kind of wimp out when the chips were down. He turned his back on Jesus. But back in that movie, the Chosen, one of the greatest lines I think was in there. It's a very subtle line. Was after Jesus, you know, when Peter was ready to he was all anointed and ready to go. They said to him, "Where are you going to go?" And he says, "I'm going fishing." But he wasn't talking about fishing for fish. He was talking about fulfilling his destiny in Christ to be a fisher of men. We need to go fishing. You know, if you never take your pole out of your trunk, you never put a worm on the hook, and then you complain you don't have any fish, that's not reasonable. Okay, we need to get out there and we need to be ready to move in the power of the Holy Spirit. Peter preached and 3,000 people that day came to Christ. That's amazing. That's just amazing. That's just amazing. Okay, so who is the Holy Spirit? He's God. What is the Holy Spirit? He is the living God, as opposed to a force. Where is the Holy Spirit? He dwells within us. When is the time for the Holy Spirit? Now. We don't have to receive, we don't have to tarry to receive, we just need to receive. And when was the Holy Spirit sent? Or why was the Holy Spirit sent? He was sent to empower the church. That's the who, what, where, when, and why. I could have put more scriptures in, but I think I probably made my case. All right, this is a new high watermark for me on laying scripture on you, but you know I believe in the Bible. I believe it's He gives it to us so that we would know. And I think that as we move into the realm of the Spirit, put it that way, as we begin to function more in the realm of the Spirit, it becomes more and more critically important that we understand who He is, what He is, why He's doing it. It will change the way you touch the supernatural if you understand who He is. So this might have seemed like a lesson to you. Actually, it was a lesson. It was a lesson on the Holy Spirit. It was a foundational lesson, because we need to take this and not forget it and move into the weeks to come into how are we as a church, as the people of God, how are we going to move out in the power of the Spirit to see the will of God accomplished through you and through this church? He's not done. He is not done. We are not standing here saying, last one out, turn out the lights. We are not a going downhill church. We are moving forward, church. Now this season, honestly, and I'm going to end. I'm off my notes now. That's always dangerous. But I'm going to end, I promise. But I do want to say to you that as painful as some of the things that we have been through as a church over the past year, as painful as some of these things have been, God is using this to help focus us toward the things He wants us to have. Our little worlds have been rattled in a lot of ways, and we don't like it. I get that. But it is what it is, and so we say, God, where are you in this? And here's where I think He is. I think He wants us to take a step back, to refocus on Him, to receive from Him a fresh anointing with an understanding that we are not the weak, we are not the defeated, we are not the victims of anything in this world. We are Spirit-filled believers in the Lord Jesus Christ with a mission upon us. We might like the mission, we might not like the mission. He doesn't care. He thinks He's God and He can do what He wants. So He put something on us, and we need to be striving to reach that goal. Now, He's got to give us more information in the days to come than we have now. I get it. But we need to position ourselves, and that's where I want to end today. Just positioning ourselves. There's something in me that really wants to bring everybody up and lay hands and get in your face and all that, but I'm not going to do that. It's not really necessary to do that. People were touched by the Holy Spirit without the laying on of hands. I'm just going to respect distance right now. But here's what I would like. I'd like you to stand with me. And what I would like you to do is make a personal, how do I put this? I had it all worked out in my head before I started talking, but it would make a personal surrender to the Lord right now, fresh surrender, saying to Him, Lord, I am open to You. I want You in my life. I'm going to lead in prayer, but this is the posture that I would like you to take. That we have remember, He's a living God. It means He's here. He's not a force. He's got will. He's got intellect. We can please Him. We can grieve Him. He is here, and He wants to move among us. And so what we need to do today as we begin a series. I don't know how long it'll take. It'll take a few weeks at least. It might take longer, but we're going to begin looking and unpacking this thing about the Holy Spirit, so that not that we can fill our head with theology, but that we can begin to move in what God is showing us and in the power of the Holy Spirit. So that's where we're heading. But for any of that to happen, you have to be willing. You have to be willing in two ways. One, you have to be willing to let Him move in your heart the way He wants to. And then you have to be willing to let Him move in your church the way He wants to. Two very different things, but you have to be willing for both. I have pastored a church in 1994, I've told you this before, where the Holy Spirit fell in amazing ways. It totally turned our church on its head. Went on for more than 2 years. I was pastoring that church for two more years. It was still happening when I left. It was very difficult to leave, by the way. But we had powerful, powerful, consistently powerful times with God. I couldn't get people out of the church. 1 o'clock in the morning, with a service that began 6 o'clock Sunday night, 1 o'clock Monday morning, I'm telling people, please go home. Could not get people out of the church. We had people walking in from the street, just sovereignly walking in saying, what's happening here? Somebody help me, and leading them to the Lord. We saw people healed in body and spirit and soul. We saw, I mean, Judy was there. This is not something I'm making up. But I'm telling you, it's a little unnerving to have a sovereign God doing what He wants to do. And for me as a pastor to not try to control that while at the same time protecting people. It's God help us. I'm just saying to you, we need two things. We need to be willing for the Lord to move in us, and we need to be willing to let the Lord move in our church. That's what we need. And that's what I want to pray about today. Now, I believe right now that if you just want a fresh touch from God right now, you don't have to tarry. You just have to receive it. He's here. He's alive. He's God. He's got a will. He's got purpose. He's got all those things. He's here. Holy Spirit is here. If you want a fresh touch from God, just open your heart from Him. I'm going to pray for you, but you're going to receive, and just breathe it in like you're breathing in the air. Just take Him in and let Him touch your life. Well, Father, in Jesus' name, we're thankful for redemption, for salvation. Lord, we're thankful for bringing us into Your family. We're thankful, Lord, for our church and the family of God here on earth that we fellowship with and we interact with. And we're so thankful for all of that. And we're thankful, Lord, for the Holy Spirit that You have poured out, the promise of the Father that You have poured out upon Your church on the day of Pentecost, and You never left. You didn't come and go like the Old Testament. You came to stay. You're here today. You're indwelling believers. You're in Your church. And we pray right now, Lord, as individuals, we open our hearts to You afresh, Holy Spirit. And by Your grace, we say to You, do what You will in me. I will not stop You. I will not hinder You. I will not stand in Your way. I invite You to come and touch me again. Fill me afresh. Let Your life flow into me afresh. Bring healing into me afresh. Bring encouragement into me afresh. Holy Spirit, come into our lives right now in Jesus' name. And Lord, as a congregation, Lord, if in any way we have taken this church away from You, inadvertently, however we might have done it, Lord, we just consciously right now, we give You Your church back. Do what You will among us in Jesus' name. Send revival here. Lord, a true Holy Spirit revival where You are manifest and where Jesus is glorified. We thank You for it, Lord, and we give You praise. And Lord, I pray that Your word would I hate to use the word haunt. It's got such a bad sound to it, but that would just nag at us to be open to what it is that You want to do among us. And we give you thanks in advance for the wonderful things, for the revival, for the new wineskin, for the new great awakening, Lord, that you want to send to us. We embrace it now in faith with thanksgiving to you in Jesus' name. And God's people shouted, amen, amen, amen. God bless you, folks. I hope I didn't freeze you out this morning. I'm not sure what time it is. It's time for you to go, probably. So God bless you. Have a wonderful week. Stay in touch with one another, and love each other.